There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you here. And a lot to talk about this hour. And thank you to Andrew Bailey to kind of, as we continue to negotiate the SBA loan process and the PPP. And also coming up later this hour, what municipalities can and can't do to help out small businesses in their area. We had some oversight, had some opinion from the Attorney General's office last week about that, and we discussed it some, but we'll talk about it more coming up, how it affects folks in North Baldwin County in just a little bit. Actually, maybe it's a question I can ask our next guest, and you'll be able to hear his show starting tomorrow night at 7, Law Chat 24/7, and your host, Mark Wolf, is joining us now. Thanks for being on.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good, and let's talk about this. First of all, Law Chat 24/7. What's the 24/7?
Well, what LawChat247.com is a website that people can go to anytime and submit a question and get a response from a licensed attorney within 24 hours. LawChat247.com, it's up and running. We're in the process of tweaking the site. We'll be adding some additional apps to it to make it a little bit more user-friendly, but it is up and running, and we're actually getting questions in already. And then what we'll do is we'll take some of the questions. My co-host and I will go through some of the questions or the topics or the subjects and then address those during the show on the air on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock.
All right, so I mean, you're going to be getting the questions during the week at Boltler, Richardson, and Wolf, but also our questions straight from the website. What's trending? What's changed? I mean, I know there's certain kinds of injuries and questions that people have day in and day out, but what's changed here, let's say, over the last 3 weeks to a month with the questions that you're getting?
Well, it'll be very topical tomorrow night because we've already received several questions about the COVID-19 situation. We had a question from a healthcare worker who wanted to know what her rights might be if she became infected because the healthcare provider, her employer, was not giving her adequate protection. We had a landlord question that came in about what they should or shouldn't do as far as expecting rent from a college student who apparently had moved out because the campus was closed. So we're getting a lot of topical questions on that, plus general questions, general information questions about personal injury, car accidents, bankruptcy, divorce. Just, you know, we still get a pretty good smattering of other areas, but the COVID-19 questions are coming in right now.
Yeah, and there's maybe questions we haven't even thought of yet, probably waiting around the corner for us.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, your prior host had really good information about the loan repayments and all those type things. Those are all going to be legal issues that may be forthcoming too. So there's a little bit of overlap between accounting and the law practice. So I'm sure we'll see more and more questions from small business owners about repayment issues or denial of loan forgiveness, et cetera. So
I mean, you're going to be just like the accountants, attorneys like yourself are going to be, y'all are reading all that exciting information that comes out of Treasury and other departments.
Yeah, that's not really my area of law, but I have seen a number of reports that have come out and trying to, and even though I don't really have a transaction practice, I have a lot of friends that are business owners and small business owners. So, you know, periodically we'll get questions just like a text message from a friend and, you know, with general questions. So try to stay up on most of that stuff so we can at least provide some sort of a meaningful response.
Hey, Mark, talk to folks about yourself. I mean, they probably, a lot of them know you, but those who don't, tell them about Mark Wolf.
Well, I've been a practicing attorney here in the Mobile area since 1987, primarily doing injury cases, car accidents, that type of work, insurance claims. And my partners work in a couple different areas. One of my partners, Knox Boltler, was heavily involved in the BP oil spill litigation, representing about, I think, about 250, 300 local businesses and their claims. And then one of my other partners, Matt Richardson, he works in the area of what are called mass torts, the, you know, like maybe the Roundup or the hernia mesh cases, those type cases. So we're an injury law firm. Mostly what we do is auto accidents, personal injury type cases, product defective products, but that's not the sole focus of LawChat247.com. It's more of a general information place where people can go. It's not obviously we'll be taking questions about personal injury issues or on the job injuries, but we'll also be trying to provide just general information about other areas that over the years we've had a lot of clients inquire about.
Do you find there's, I mean, certain areas more than others that folks like me, you know, just regular folks, are ignorant to in the law? Is that, I mean, yeah, that's why, you know, that's why y'all got a gig, right? But is there any any area that we seem, that we, the general public, seem to fail in having knowledge of?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things I will say, just because it's my area of law, is that I think one of the things most people are not aware of is just how complex a personal injury auto crash claim can be with the insurance company. You know, a lot of times when I sit down and explain to clients what the insurance company's looking for, what needs to be documented, what they can do to best present their claim, and I explain why, a lot of people are like, wow, I didn't realize it was that complicated. And even for a simple injury case, it can be that complicated. Things like value drivers, what the insurance companies look for to either push up the value or devalue a claim, how they set reserves, all the things that go into it behind the scenes, most people don't realize. And so I mean, that's one of the areas, I think, with like insurance claims and just the whole burden of proof issue on an insurance claim. You know, you carry the burden of proof, what you have to do to prove your claim. A lot of people are just not aware of those standards and those requirements. So that's one area that I see constantly. That a lot of people are ignorant of or just not aware of, or even something simple like reading an accident report. You know, there's a lot of ins and outs on the accident report. People are not sure all the code systems and what they're actually saying and what to do if they think the report's not correct. So there's a lot of areas of just general information that I think we'll be able to provide through our show and through the LawChat247.com site.
Okay, so those are linked. Of course, the show's starting tomorrow night at 7, but the website has been up, and people could go there right now and submit a question.
Exactly. It's open and up and running, LawChat247.com, and we've already had a number of questions coming through, and then we'll be addressing some of those, especially the COVID-19 type questions. We'll probably try to keep those topical tomorrow night and hit some of those. And we do have a section at the end of the show called Can I Sue?, where we try to take one of the more interesting questions that we've received. And of course, all questions are 100% confidential. No names are used, and most of the time we edit the questions. We're going to be editing the questions down for succinctness. But we have a section called "What Can I Sue?" And I'm going to tell you this the question we're planning on using tomorrow night is a doozy.
So you're going to start off with a doozy. Set the bar high.
It's going to be near the end of the show. The Can I Sue section will be in the final segment of our show. But it's my co-host Marion was blushing when she saw the question.
Oh my! guaranteed.
A wild one.
Well, guaranteed. That's a way to have a lot of people listening at to bar night at the close of the show. But the show starts at 7 o'clock, and it is called Law Chat 24/7. The host Mark Wolf, along with your co-host, and your co-host is.
Marion Boltler.
All right. So that will be tomorrow night at 7. Of course, y'all will be able to get the podcast after the show airs and be able to listen to it down the road. Mark, thanks for your time, and can't wait to hear the show tomorrow night.
Oh, listen, thank you so much, Sean. Look forward to doing the show and look forward to working with 106.5.
All right. Thank you. Mark Wolf, check it in. We're coming right back with, this is pretty interesting. So we've talked about how the remote learning is going for schools. So Renee Phillips from Mobile County Public School System said, hey, I'm busy this morning filming and doing TV for the schools. I'll get back to you. She's going to explain what they're doing coming up next. You're like this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Mentioned I would check in with my friend Renee Phillips with the Mobile County Public School System, but So a lot of times I'm talking to her about just information about Mobile County Public Schools. Last time we talked, she was busy making lunches, I think she was working on for the kids, and now she's in her other job as a very, very excited TV producer. Am I close, Renee?
That's right. That's right. We are producing, I was joking, we're doing about 33 hours of live televised classroom instruction. So I wonder if we're doing more live coverage than ESPN.
Well, you're pushing it. So, okay, this is part of, and I was talking about this morning, where we stand with schools, where before we even get into how you're going to do it, is where are you in the school year with Mobile County Public School System? Are you still going on? Is it over? Is it coming back? What's the word?
So we launched our brand new at-home learning process today. So we had some weeks of what we were calling enrichment. We had spring break thrown in there where we said, relax, don't do any work, be a kid. But starting today, we have launched our at-home learning. So what we did was we gave all of the families two options. They could either do their learning online with a teacher who will check in with them and have like Google meetings with them. My children had Google meetings this morning with their teachers. And then they will complete their work online and they'll turn it in online, that sort of thing. But we also know that we have a lot of students who may not have access to internet and computer, or they're sharing computers, sharing the internet, that sort of thing. And so we have the paper packets option where they can pick up a packet and do the work on hard copy and turn it in. But for whichever, if you're using either of those methods, we are also offering something that I think is unique to the state, and that is televised instruction, where we are recording classroom teachers and putting them on the TV live.
So wait a second. So it's a TV show, but it's also our time in class. They have a big fancy opening with graphics and explosions, and here's your host, Mrs. So-and-so.
We had two weeks to reinvent public education. Maybe if we had 3 weeks, we would have done that. So we're just settling for more like a teacher saying, hi, my name is Mrs. Phillips, and today I'm teaching fourth grade math. And I'm so excited to see you, because they really have been excited to come back in and get back into what they do best, which is teach.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about how it's going to be, how people get it, but let's talk about producing it. So, I mean, y'all have a studio, you go in, you got to have somebody operating a camera, right, and have a teacher. What's the formula?
So we came up with this academic continuity plan, and then we had 4 days to convert a school into a TV set. So we have a high school room, we have a science lab, we have a middle school room, and we decorated an elementary classroom. So we have all that so that they can teach in something similar to their environment in their regular school. And then they have access to the smart board, the whiteboard, all of that. We have a control room, and so we have some of our guys from MCPSS-TV are doing the editing, the sound, all of that. And we also really, what's really cool, we have interpreters for deaf students who are signing the whole lesson simultaneously while we're doing all of this.
Okay, so with these classrooms that are somewhat representative of the subject matter or the age group that's being educated here, are the teachers signed up like, hey, Mrs. Phillips, you're on from 8 to 9, then Mr. Sullivan, you're on from 9 to 10, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so we have every, those old TV guides that you would get that had the schedules and the day and the time and what show was on.
Yes.
We prepped one of those in a big chart. So like I said, we have 33 hours. It is pre-K through 11th grade instruction. So we have everything. Like today, we're doing kindergarten reading and math, first grade reading and math, all the way up to fifth grade reading and math. Then tomorrow, I think we're doing some middle school and high school reading and math, and then Wednesday it's some social studies and science. We're also throwing in some messages from counselors who are talking about how to keep a schedule, how to, you know, cope with what's going on in our world right now. And then we have some music lessons, some art lessons, some reading lessons. It's a lot. If you can think of it, we're filming it.
Okay, so how are people receiving that? I mean, you're doing a TV show. Are they getting it on TV? How are they getting it?
Right, so we have a TV channel called MCPSS-TV, so we are live on that. If you have Comcast or AT&T Uverse or MediaCom, we're on there. But we also knew that we needed to reach more people who didn't have cable, so I'm very appreciative. Fox 10 and UTV 44 have both partnered with us. So Fox 10 set up a new channel called 10.6, and you can watch it live on 10.6. And then what UTV 44 is doing, they are going to record, or they're going to air 14 hours of our instruction. So mostly reading and math, about an hour of classes per grade level, starting tomorrow.
Okay, wait a second.
So Fox 10 is live today.
So mm-hmm. I could tune in, even though I'm not a student, I can tune in for a little lesson?
Yeah, and we've actually had calls from other school systems and other counties, and they're enjoying watching it, and they think this is a really cool thing that's going to help them, hopefully, in their instructional practices.
Do you think you'll be sharing that programming with, do you think they'll put that into place in their school systems, or are they just going to try to copy the idea? What are you hearing?
I don't know. I think because we're such a large system, and because we already had MCPSS-TV in place, this was probably, it wasn't easy, but it was probably easier for us to do than a school system that did not have that in place. But we already were doing high school football games live. We were doing the spelling bee, fine arts programs, different things like that that we would record and put on our channel. So this is definitely new what we're doing. It's been a lot of work, but we could do it because we already had some experience doing it.
All right. Do you think this is going to be part of the, this is what's going to go on to the end of the school year? I mean, or do you have any date? I mean, we're looking at something that people are saying, hey, when, you know, maybe the end of this month we get things back open. What are you saying with the school system?
So with the school system, the governor has ordered that we do our alternate methods of instruction through the end of the school year. We are not going back. So our plan here is to operate this for 6 weeks, which will get us through May 22nd, which is right the Friday of Memorial Day. So this is how we are finishing out our year.
Okay, and the students are going to be taking those tests, being graded, and to get on to the next level, to matriculate?
Yeah, so we have tried to simplify it. So the state gave us academic standards that we must cover. And so we're calling that the 333, where they need to cover three standards per class. We're getting three minor grades, three major grades in each of those classes. The teachers are there to help the students. We want them all to be successful. So we want them all to get what they need and do what they need to pass. That's pre-K through 11th. The seniors are in the process of, most of them probably have been notified by now if they had any more work that they had to do before or to meet the diploma requirements. And if they did, we're working with them on that. If not, they basically are graduates. So congratulations to the class of 2020.
Yeah, and so they're graduates, and I guess, I mean, there's not going to be any organized graduation, but they'll be, I guess they receive their diplomas through the mail, or how does that work?
Yeah, we haven't planned that yet, but here at MCPSS-TV, we're trying to think of a way that we can recognize our seniors and do some type of video. I don't know what that's going to look like at that point, but we're trying to think of something that we can do to recognize our seniors.
All right, and any other situations here that are going to be the same or change it? I know that y'all are still serving the breakfasts and lunches, right, for those students?
Right, we're still doing our meals. We're at 22 cafeterias and 66 sites total. We will continue that through May 22nd. That's been a great program. We're making sure no child goes hungry. We also have a hotline. It is 221-7777, and it's kind of working threefold right now. So you can call. Right now they are slammed, so if you're calling, please be patient with us. But right now they're answering a lot of technical questions because parents are trying to figure out, what's my child's Google Classroom password? How do I do this? That sort of thing. So there's the technical password assistance. You can also get academic assistance. So we have academic supervisors who can help you with reading or math or social studies or science. And then the third option we have on that is for counseling. So if you're struggling with what's going on or you just need to talk to someone, you can call that number as well.
All right.
221-7777.
Okay, it's the same number.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll let you get back on set. I know you have Adventures of Dr. Scientist coming up, right? It comes up at 2 o'clock. I'll be tuned in.
we need you to come help us with our intros. How about that?
I got some ideas. So you and I will talk later this afternoon. I got some ideas I want to roll out for you. But thank you for the innovative program and trying to make sure that all our children stay engaged and educated. Renee, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Renee Phillips with the Mobile County Public School System. And there you go. So it's going to be on TV. How about that? All right, we're going to head to North Baldwin here in just a second and check in with my friend Ashley Davis and talk about what the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce is doing for businesses there and maybe get some opinion after the AG's opinion last week, what funds can be used or not used for small business, what direction they can give those folks in the North Baldwin communities. We'll talk about that when we come back. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. On the way, check in with Ashley Jones-Davis from the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce. I want to talk right now with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and talk about, so people understand this, right? Y'all are open, it's just with a little variance.
Yes, sir. We're trying to follow, or not trying to, we are following all of the social distancing guidelines, all the things the mayor's been talking about every afternoon at 3 and then every night at 8 or 9. We've been listening to, reading those, making sure people keep their distance. We're keeping things disinfected, but we are still open for business. So if you need some cash during these times and you've got some gold or silver, whether that's, you know, an old class ring, a gold tooth, for goodness sakes, whatever it happens to be, if you've got some gold or silver you're thinking of selling, please come down to the shop and let us take a look at it, make you an offer on it. We're actually buying gold and silver right now on the bullion side. Some of that we're paying over spot just to get it in because the supply side of this has gotten a little crazy, like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks.
I know it changes throughout the day, but kind of generally right now, what's gold looking like with silver?
It's really interesting because right now gold is over $1,700 an ounce. We haven't seen that in a very long time. Silver right now is hovering right around $1,530, $1,550 an ounce, which is about what it was 1 year ago today, pretty close to that. And right now the demand is so high. If you came in here with silver bullion, especially if you had quantities of it, I will pay you over spot for that silver bullion. And at the same time, we've got silver bullion coming in every day, gold coming in every day. So if you're looking for items to purchase to take some of your cash and get into some of those hard assets, we've got plenty of gold and silver available pretty much every day.
And because the letter of the law or the letter of the ordinance and y'all complying with it, your gift side is not open in the real world, but in the online world, y'all are open. You are telling me how many items y'all have on eBay?
It's over 9,000 individual unique items on eBay, whether you're looking for a beautiful piece of jewelry for a loved one, whether it's for a birthday, or maybe just to cheer them up. You know, a lot of us are getting really stressed throughout this time. You can still do your shopping. You just don't get to come into the shop and socialize with us and look at everything. You can sit on your couch or sit in your easy chair, pull up mobilebaycoins.com, check out the link, the shopping link right there. That'll take you to our eBay store. Over 9,000 items in stock. We can ship them to you. We ship Monday through Friday every single day of the week. The stuff's going to arrive to you in great condition, well packaged, well packed. And you don't have to go out there and run any particular risks.
All right.
If you want to buy or sell something and you do want to come by the shop but you're a little concerned, call us when you get here and we will provide curbside service for you. We will do everything we can to try to make things work for you during this crazy time.
So whether it's in person for the gold and silver or online for all the other items, but y'all are open. You're still doing business here in Mobile. Y'all are still serving the public.
Yes, sir. Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Saturdays, 9 till about 1 or 2. We've been sort of selling out on stuff real quickly on Saturdays, so we're closing a little bit early sometimes, but we are here. We will help you out. They can contact us off of Facebook, Instagram, the website. Call us here at the shop, 725-1590. Whatever you need, however we can help you, you know, with what we do, we will do our best.
All right, Angelo, I appreciate that, and we'll check back in with you tomorrow.
Have a good one, my friend.
All right, you too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. That's the way they're navigating this new economy and the rules that are facing them. So make sure you check them out online. As it takes, I imagine it takes a long time to get that many items posted up on eBay. Although that's how a lot of local businesses and small businesses are having to do to be able to stay active during this. Actually, I want to talk about this more. My friend Ashley Jones Davis, Executive Director of the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce, is joining us to talk about just that, how businesses are navigating this new economy. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Sean. How are you guys doing?
We're making it. How about that in your area, North Baldwin? You got to have a lot of businesses that are dealing with the same thing that they're dealing with there at Mobile Bay Coins.
Absolutely. A ton of our small businesses, you know, they've had to get what I call creative through this process. Some have been forced to shut their doors, unfortunately, your hair salons and your gyms and things like that. But our small retailers, even our restaurants, are getting creative in the fields of delivery and online and gift card shopping and these fun social media things that they're doing to keep their customers engaged during this time. It's really exciting to see, kind of terrifying that they're having to go through it. And we're helping them get through that and hopefully come out the other side intact.
Yeah, what are you getting the most questions from small businesses? What are they asking you, Ashley, for guidance on or help with?
We usually get questions after the governor or the health department, state health officer, issues an order, because, you know, it's a lot of information and we usually read through it and try to understand it and get clarification from those offices to make sure our businesses have clarification. But on the flip side of that, the majority of the calls we get are about the Small Business Administration, the EIDL loans, the Paycheck Protection loans, you know, things of that nature to help them navigate to the right source that they need to go to.
Yeah, a lot of people were, we talked about it on this show last week when the Attorney General's office came back and rendered an opinion about the use of, and I at that point also talked about it with Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl here on the Mobile side, about not being able to use money to assist small business. The Attorney General said that, but you want to clarify for North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce, what's the difference, and explain that to us.
Yes, so your North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce is an independent 501c6, and we have the North Baldwin Chamber Foundation, which is classified as a 501c3 charitable nonprofit. It was established to help the chamber support its mission, and which includes supporting small businesses and small business development and workforce and things like that. So while we were very disappointed in the Attorney General's opinion, we don't disagree with his findings. I mean, it is a state, it's in the Constitution, but we were disappointed with that opinion because we had just launched the Small Business Relief Fund, and our city and one of our utility companies was a major contributor to get that fund off the ground, and quickly, within 24 hours, they could no longer contribute to the fund because of that opinion. But it doesn't mean that the fund does not exist. Because it runs through a 501c3 nonprofit, we can still have the program, the Small Business Relief Fund. We can still accept tax-deductible contributions and award these small grants to our local businesses to help them get over the hump. We just can't use city or public funds to fund the fund.
Okay. So, I mean, and this is the kind of money we've talked about in the past, not all of us, not specifically just you and I, but that is used to incentivize bringing other businesses into areas, right? I know on the Mobile County side, that's, and so I think there's some frustration there. I understand the AG, like you. I mean, I looked at the law he's working off of. I understand it, but there is frustration that money's used to bring other businesses in a time like this. It's not available for the businesses that are already there.
Yes, absolutely. It was a point of contention the 24 hours following that opinion coming out. I was on the phone with lots of attorneys, and from where we sit, you know, incentivizing business is incentivizing business, but Alabama, and there's lines in the sand that distinguish what you can and can't do. And unfortunately, in a case like this, public funds to support small business, I think the words they used were it didn't have a direct public purpose. It was an indirect, so therefore you couldn't set up funds to be used in that manner.
But the funds you're saying that y'all, that come from the, not from there, but from the donations in the, what is the name of the, it's a subset, right? It's the 501c3 501c3 within
the... 501c3 is the North Baldwin Chamber Foundation.
Okay.
And they have, it has a separate board of directors, and it has set up the Small Business Relief Fund. And any contributions that are made to that organization or that fund are tax deductible. We are recognized as a 501c3 with the IRS. We are registered. And we've shifted our focus. Now we're calling on corporations and businesses and local foundations and even individuals that have not been, you know, impacted by COVID-19 that can give a little to help our small businesses. Because honestly, in a town our size, our small businesses have given so much over the years. They're the ones sponsoring the T-ball teams and the baseball teams and buying advertisements in the football program. You know, our small businesses have given over the years, and this is a chance for us to give them a little something. All of the money that's donated, 100% of it goes to the small business. And the goal of this, I've had a lot of people say, well, can't they get help from the SBA program? Well, yes and no. Some of them can, but some of them can't. You know, with the CARES Act or any legislation, there are groups that fall through the cracks. And unfortunately, what I call your true small businesses, when they have 10 or less employees, or even in our case, 1, 2, and 3 employees, they don't fit the mold to get the help that they need. So this small business fund will allow us to grant them some immediate relief so that they can pay their rent and their utilities and their mortgage and get over this hump to figure out how to best manage their future and ensure a future.
Yeah, and that's the point. There's, listen, people who donate to a fund like this can do it altruistically and do it for the right reasons, and I think they all should. But if somebody needs an additional motivation, the way we see it as a small business here, down, you know, another county, but we all are part of one economy. And if you can donate and if you can help other small businesses, that if somebody wants to look at it completely, you know, just from a business aspect, that money is important to come back to you one day at some degree in your business by getting the economy back online or just having individuals be able to, you know, exist in this economy and keep money flowing.
Absolutely. And I've said it since the beginning, you know, we're walking a really fine line here between the health and well-being of our citizens and keeping people safe and healthy and making sure our healthcare providers have the tools that they need to take care of people when they get sick. But on the other side of that line, you know, your chambers in Mobile and Baldwin County, we're working to make sure there's an economy to come back to. And it's a balancing act. It really is.
Do you see people pulling together up there, for example, like you're talking about restaurants, for example? Are people going ahead and saying, you know, maybe I only got dinner once a month from whatever the place is. Now I'm getting it once a week. I mean, do you see that kind of activity going on in Bay Minette and North Baldwin?
Absolutely. For our office alone, you know, we're an office of 3 people, and for the past 3 weeks, we've probably gotten takeout for lunch every day, okay, which is not something that we do. You know, I mean, people, not just in our office, but even the we have a lot of industry up here. A lot of our industries and manufacturers, you know, those people are getting takeout, and they're getting lunch delivered, and they're ordering in, and people are probably, you know, as long as they're capable, spending more money on eating out, frankly, because it's annoying to go to the grocery store, if you think about it, right now. But a lot more people are investing their dollars into our small businesses. You know, we have a lot of small retail shops, and over Easter weekend, they did curbside pickup for some great gifts. And, you know, it's able to carry them through. It's not the best situation, but it sure could be a whole lot worse.
All right. People that are looking for help or people are looking to help, Ashley, how do they get in touch with you?
The easiest thing for them to do is to go to northbaldwinchamber.com. At the top of our page, you'll see 3 tabs. One is for resources for business related to COVID-19. We actually have a social distance dining tab to keep track of what restaurants are open in the area and what they're offering. And there's a tab for the Small Business Relief Fund if you're interested in donating or applying.
All right. We appreciate your time. I appreciate what you're doing in North Baldwin. Please keep us in the loop.
We sure will. Thanks so much, Sean.
All right. Always a pleasure. Ashley Jones-Davis checking in from the North Baldwin Chamber of Commerce. We're coming right back for some text and phone calls at 343-0106.
WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. Carnival Cruise Lines is extending their pause in operations through June 26th amid the coronavirus pandemic. Carnival posted the announcement on Twitter today saying the pause in operation affects all North American sailings. Carnival says guests whose cruises have been affected should have received an email from Carnival or their travel advisor with instructions on how to claim a cancellation offer or a refund. Students in Mobile County began distance learning today. Students have several options: online instruction, televised instruction, and televised instructions with paper packets and teacher check-ins. In Baldwin County, distance learning begins on Wednesday. The Chick-fil-A on Dauphin Street in Mobile is saying thank you to our first responders with free chicken. Police, firefighters, and EMTs can get a free original chicken sandwich between 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. tonight. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5. Local coverage you can count on.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Paul Feinbaum show on in just a few here. Some few stories as we wrap up on this Monday. Number one, people were asking last week, hey, where's that money? The one-time payment, not small business loans, not the EIDL. This would be the one-time payment for folks under $99,000 and or couples under, I don't have it in front of me, $150,000, I think, $155,000, something like that. The direct deposits have been happening already. I know even from our text line here at the station, people have gotten the money in their accounts starting as early as on Saturday, although I did see a story posted up on the website for WKRG, said the Treasury Department and the IRS announced Friday it's going to launch a tool allowing Americans to register and track their stimulus checks. That's what we need is get an IRS app on our phone. The tool is expected to be available around April 15th. All right. The free, listen to this, Dalton, the free Get My Payment tool is located at irs.gov, a website that allows taxpayers who filed their tax returns in 2018 or 2019 but did not provide their banking information on their return to submit direct deposit information to ensure they get their payments sooner. So if you're somebody for some reason that doesn't have, if you have to pay or whatever, for some reason the IRS doesn't have, you didn't do the electronic deal in the past, if you go to Get My Payment for at irs.gov, that app will allow you to amend and, I guess, link banking information with those returns so you can get your direct deposit more quickly. Of course, I don't know what else comes along with the Get My Payment app, but it's there. So you go to irs.gov. That's where that fun app is located. And it said having your direct deposit information on file with the IRS ensures you get your stimulus check in your bank account quickly instead of waiting on a check in the mail. So said through this tool, you'll be able to track the status of your payments by entering your Social Security number, date of birth, and mailing address. Those who want to add a bank account information will need to provide the following. It's all listed here. It's your AGI, your adjusted gross income for the most recent tax return, a refund or amount owed from their latest filed tax return, and bank account type, account, and routing numbers. I guess they figured this out. I don't know what it is, but something here says, oh my gosh, the scammers. Maybe they have it locked down. Maybe there's no way to scam it. I don't know how you scam it. It just seems like with having a website and being able to change bank accounts when everybody's doing it at one time, I hope there's not. I hope people are acting right, but maybe it's just fine. Maybe it's completely locked down. It just worries. Okay, worrisome. And then this headline here from ZDNet.com. How about we look at what the extenuating circumstances or comorbidity has been in cases of coronavirus deaths out there. NYU scientists, here's the headline, NYU scientists say largest U.S. study of COVID-19 finds obesity So not smoking, not age, I guess, obesity, the single biggest factor in New York City hospitalizations. Now, this hadn't been fatalities, but it says doctors at NYU at the Langone Health Center conducted the largest study so far of U.S. hospital admissions for COVID-19 focused on New York City. They found obesity, along with age, was the biggest deciding factor in hospital admissions, which may suggest the role of hyperinflammatory reactions that can happen in with those diseases. Said for months, scientists have been poring over data about cases and deaths to understand why it is that COVID-19 manifests itself differently in different ways around the world, with certain factors such as age of the population repeatedly popping up among the most significant determinants. Now, with one of the largest studies conducted of COVID-19 infection in the United States, it's found that the obesity of patients was the single biggest factor in whether those with COVID-19 had to be admitted to a hospital. The study here from NYU's Grossman School, quote from the chief author here, Christopher Petrilli, says the chronic condition with the strongest association with critical illness was obesity, with a substantially higher odds ratio than any cardiovascular or pulmonary disease. So not even the, I mean, obviously you could have both of those things at the same time, but he's saying obesity led that. Factors associated with hospitalization and critical illness among 4,103 patients with COVID-19 disease in New York City. That was the sample here on this. So, among other things, the presence of obesity in the study points to potentially important role of heightened inflammation in patients, a phenomenon that's been the topic of much speculation in numerous studies of the disease. I'll pop this story up on the Twitter feed. And it's time for time for a workout this afternoon, that's for sure. And no seconds at dinner. All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Remember, we're online, fmtalk1065.com. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.